Good evening, everybody. Hope you guys are having a happy Wednesday night out there. We are the Tri-State Sports Guys coming to you live from beautiful Norwalk, Connecticut. I'm Mike DePalma, filling in for my co-host Neil Lynch. Johns Hopkins Athletics Hall of Fame nominee, Big O. Oh, how are we doing?
How's that intro? I love the intro.
I'll let you introduce Tony D.
Tony's gotten a lot more sophisticated with the claps.
Oh, so
I noticed that last week.
He's like Eddie Scazzeri over here. He's got dump button.
It happened 10 seconds after I hit.
Tony.
Oh, it's good to have you back.
It's great
here.
To be
I was
here.
Going through some of our old clips. I posted one today as a teaser. Back when
what were we talking about?
What, Tony, did you watch it? What were we talking about? It was, we were talking to some Mets talk. You know what we were talking about?
Oh, God.
Baseball's
probably sleeping.
Yeah, Tony D was nowhere to be found. We were talking about Bartolo Colon and whether he was going to make the Yankees. This was from OLA.
I remember that conversation.
And we were debating whether he was going to make it, and you were like, he's here to be a starter. And I said, does that mean Freddie Garcia might be out? It was great. We were breaking things down back then. Now it's me and Neil, you know, talking about his burgeoning comedy career.
He's becoming very big time. Very
yeah.
big.
And he lets you know about it.
Well, the thing about it is, you know, I've moved on, not to bigger and better, although I'm now coaching more. Tony is not here that much. I know that he misses a Cinto 5-on-5. And Neil's moved on. So it's basically like you're just kind of like a way station for people.
I am. I really am. I'm like that like that local disc jockey for 95.9, like sees the up-and-coming guys come and go, and they move on and all this. And
that's, just, that's exactly
and
what
I'm
you
just
are.
Here spinning records. You know what I mean?
that's exactly what you are.
It's the Wolfman coming to you live from my own basement. So, we got a lot to get to today.
Let's go.
I'm excited you're here because we're going to talk a lot of baseball, but I figured we'd start with the NBA. Now, I'm glad that you're here, too, because you're not a big NBA guy.
I'm not, but can I say, go ahead.
Well, so, and I, you know,
I tried to get into the NBA this weekend. I love the dunk contest, the three-point contest. I even watched all three specials, Jordan, Barkley, and Bill Russell. Awful.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this weekend.
So I'm down on NBA right now.
When I was middle school, maybe like late elementary school, middle school, All-Star Weekend for the NBA was like an event. Every year I go sleep over at my buddy's house, who lives across the street from me. We build like a couch fort. And we would just like be fixated on three-point contests. This was like Larry Bird.
Why'd you need the couch fort?
Well, why wouldn't you make a couch fort?
Because what are you going to sit on?
We sit in it.
Underneath it.
We sit in it and look out at the television set. What are you talking about?
All right. Seems like you're hurting.
You're too busy planning for your potato sack race.
I was just going to say that.
Oh, yeah, because those don't happen. Like, you haven't seen those over the place.
And pillow forts don't happen? Come on, bro.
Why are you watching TV in a pillow fort?
Well, that's because that's where we wanted to watch it. We had various different rooms within the fort.
What was that, Kenny Skywalker?
Spud Webb. We had Jordan versus Neek. We had, you know, all those things. And it was like, to me, it was like a whole event. It was like, I looked forward to that as a kid. More than anything in the NBA season. I mean, realistically, I was a Nets fan. They weren't doing anything. So
I still like it.
I'll tell you,
forward to it.
I didn't watch. I watched possibly a total of the entire All-Star weekend from Friday night's All-Star, celebrity All-Star game, three-point contest, skills contest. I probably watched a total of 8 minutes of it. Total.
I watched.
And that was the dunk contest. And that's the only portion I watched was the finals of the dunk contest. And I'm done with all of it, dude. It went from being, to me, as a kid, and maybe it was just because of the novelty of it back in the 80s and early 90s, it went from being by far the best All-Star weekend to I put it in third. Now, where would you rank the four major sports? As a guy who's not a big basketball fan, you got baseball, you got basketball, hockey, football. Rank them for me quick.
Well, football is the worst.
100%. Football's got to be number four.
I think hockey, the competitions are cool, but I don't care enough about hockey to like it.
I put that number two, though. I think because as a non – that's why I want to get your impression of the basketball stuff, because I'm not a hockey fan at all, but I like the skills competition, the shots and all that stuff. And to me, watching the game still seems – like I don't know that they're not playing hard. It looks like hockey to me.
The problem I have with the basketball – there's two problems. Number one, and you mentioned it when you were talking about what you used to watch – you would always have good players who played.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, those guys would be participating. Now, I honestly watched it. I watched a three-point contest, and I probably knew most of those guys because You know those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then the dunk contest, I probably knew two of the people. The guy in the Knicks, I had never seen in my life.
No.
And he's on the Knicks.
I know. I only knew because the week
Does
leading
he
up
play
to
on
everybody.
The Knicks?
No. He isn't even part of the rotation.
Never seen him in my life.
Yeah, I see. He's averaging under a point a game, I think.
And I think, first of all, that's the first problem. Second problem was I heard Kenny Smith was talking about it, was when he was in a dunk contest, they'd have to do three dunks each round. Now they just do, like, they have 2 minutes to do one dunk.
And they
often miss.
I heard a percentage that of the attempts, and that includes, like, the alley-oop attempts that didn't go, 32% were completed for dunks. That means 68% of the attempts weren't even completed. They weren't even made.
And now you
wonder why it's unwatchable to me. There's no way. I mean, it used to be must-see TV.
I think
now I'll see it on the highlight. I'll see the winning dunk on the court.
I don't mind the props. Some people are down on the
props. Anything that can make it exciting, I don't mind.
I don't mind the props. I think the problem is people, they don't lose points for missing. But then the problem was they used to cost the points, but then everyone missed, so they would all get zeros. Why don't you just get better dunkers?
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to try to do like a 720 because you're not going to make it.
Yeah.
Don't do a dunk unless you can make it.
Yeah.
Like the guy in the Knicks tried that dunk. He ran sprints basically from one end of the court to the foul line and he would jump and he missed it 7 times.
See, I think if you're going to go with guys that we don't know,
they better be really good.
Add a trampoline.
Like, do whatever.
Like,
I don't
like
care what it
shows. I want to see guys jumping through flames. Something.
Yeah.
I mean, who, you know.
Now, my biggest problem was, I know no one cares about this thing, but I watch it, was the point guard competition. That competition should be so good.
Exactly.
No one goes full speed.
No.
It's like I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Like, they're going around those the stationary fake people, and they're jogging.
Yeah. Oh,
and they're up against the clock, and the fans are, like, getting a little excited, and the guy's just jogging, and he just lays it up.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me? Like, it's 25 seconds. Sprint for 25 seconds.
The only watchable competition is the three-point contest because there's no. It is exciting. I mean, the money ball and all that stuff.
But very few of the really good players do.
Exactly. Like,
it.
We used to see Mark Price going up against, you know, Larry Bird.
Why isn't J.J. Redick in that competition?
Yeah, although Kyrie Irving was nasty.
Yeah.
Well,
he's
Redick.
A good three-point shooter.
Yeah, he'd probably be great in this. There's no way in his face. But, All right, it's probably enough NBA All-Star Weekend talk. But I do want – you mentioned briefly the three shows that they had the day after the All-Star game, and one of which, I mean,
very
it was
annoyed,
like,
right,
if you
which
didn't
one?
Know, I didn't watch any of them, but if you didn't know going into the last 6 days, you'd have thought Michael Jordan was dead. I mean, he was everywhere. Cover of Sports Illustrated. It's like ESPN, I would blame just them, but Sports Illustrated did it too, but it's like they just needed to create something.
I bought into it, though. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, I was sick.
I love Jordan. That guy's
great. I do too, but what do I want to...
I loved watching the highlight, his top 50 plays.
I didn't watch any of it.
But I got to tell you got to watch the interview. The interview's awful.
He's a jerk. He's a jerk.
Well, you know, he's driven, whatever. But they literally, Ahmad Rashad,
he punched his teammate.
He had his
and then
buddy.
He went to his Hall of Fame thing and just bashed everyone
well, they
from
talked
his
about,
high school
They coach. Talked about his Hall of Fame speech, and he was like, well, I liked it, which is fine because they asked him.
They literally didn't mention
him playing baseball. They didn't talk about his time playing baseball, and they didn't talk about his time on the Wizards. They just talked about basically he retired, he came back, he won 3 more championships, and then it was like that was it for him. They didn't talk about his current drafting of Kwame Brown, any of that
stuff. Or the fact that he was the general manager for the worst team in NBA history.
It wasn't like it was an hour, and they didn't talk about it a lot.
Yeah.
So the Bill Russell one, I just turned off at one point. I just couldn't take it.
Yeah, I didn't watch any of them. I didn't really have any desire. I mean, I like watching basketball, but, you know, everybody wants to bring it back to the 80s, and they did save the game and all that, and I was the biggest Jordan guy, and I still think, you know, we could debate the LeBron and Michael Jordan thing, but that was totally created by ESPN because they had nothing else going on. There's, you know, nobody's going to talk about hockey, so they were like, okay, we're going to have a dull time here with 5 days off of basketball. We got to do something. We're going to just, it happens to coincide with Michael Jordan's 50th birthday. Okay, cool. He turned 50. We got to put banners on the wall. The guy's 50 years old. Okay. I just didn't understand it. Okay, the guy's 50 years old. Now we have to just rehash everything he did. We get it. He's the best player ever.
I'm sorry you feel that way.
Enough.
I like listening about Jordan, but I think that he's so big that he only lets his friends interview him, and no one asks him any questions that you want to hear about.
Exactly. So let's talk about the NBA itself and what we see going forward. And we'll start with the Nets because, you know what? like you said, it's my show, and I like the Nets. So we're going to start with the Nets.
Let's do it.
So, yeah, they had a nice win last night, overtime win against a Bucks team that's pretty underrated. I mean, you know, they're a bubble playoff team, probably aren't going to make it. Maybe they'll make it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They're on the bubble, but they got some talent there with Monte Ellis and obviously Brandon Jennings. They had a good game. They battled back. They had the big three to tie it going into at the end of regulation, which was just money, and it goes back to the age-old debate, why are you not fouling there? You know, up 3 points with 4.5 seconds to go, why you're not fouling once the ball is inbounded. They were able to get the ball in Darren Williams' hands and then get it back to Joe Johnson at the top of the key. It just doesn't make any sense, but I'll take it. You look at that team, and I don't know how much of the show you've been listening to over the last couple months, but my just disdain for Darren Williams continues to
grow. I hate Darren Williams. You know
just
that. I hate him.
It started the middle of last year. And it's just, he's so blasé. I mean, even last night, you know, he comes back and like, oh, he put up 19-9. He had 6 turnovers, too. You know, he's just not, he's not the guy we all net fans thought we were getting.
He's overrated.
But how could he have fallen so badly since his Utah days? Now, how many Utah Jazz games do you watch? A couple a year? But his numbers were consistently 20-10, 20-11. And then he gets to the Nets and he's fallen back to 17-8. With, you know, a terrible shooting percentage. And, you know, in crunch time, they fall apart. And that's why you see, again last night, even though they were to recuperate from it, I've never seen a team be good for 3 quarters but be so bad for that other quarter. And typically it's the 3rd quarter. And at first I thought it was an Avery Johnson problem that he was not getting them. You know, the other coach is making an adjustment at halftime, and he wasn't. But, they're not making any changes now because they're doing the same exact thing. They had a horrible 3rd quarter. And they were able to, you know, come back in the 4th and in overtime. But
I don't think he's intense enough. When your best player is not intense enough, that's a problem.
Especially
you look at all the good teams, the best player is very intense.
Exactly. And when you're paying a guy franchise money, max contract money, they surrounded him with talent, and he's not the galvanizing force that supposed to be.
He's not.
And he's just not. And you need your point guard to be that.
He's the type of guy that if he's on, he's great. But if he's off, he's very content to just kind of be like, well, I'm having an off day.
Yeah.
And you look at the great players with the drive, they find a way to even still make a difference. And he's just not – he doesn't have the – maybe he doesn't care. I don't know. Maybe mm-hmm. he's got a lot of money, doesn't care.
So where do you see them going forward? They're probably – right now, the season were to end, they'd play the Bulls in the 1st round, which would be a horrible matchup because, you know, despite the reports that maybe Rose won't be back and he won't say that he's definitely going to be back, I think he'll be back, and you do not want to play the Bulls with that defense. And the team that's been able to do as well as they have without D. Rose, with a healthy D. Rose, you don't want to see them in the 1st round.
Okay.
I don't see them catapulting themselves in the top three either. The top three are going to be the Heat, the Knicks.
No, they're not good enough for that.
And Indiana. And so they're going to be sitting somewhere in the 4-5 seed. So they're going to have a very tough time getting out of the 1st round. I just don't see it. And you know, I don't think that would make it forward this huge disappointing season. I know there was a lot of hype with the money that they spent and brought in, but I still think most experts agree that this team was not a legitimate NBA contender, championship contender. You know, they're a good team. They're going to be a middle-of-the-road playoff team. You got to hope they can get a series. And as a Net fan, you got to be pretty happy with that after the last three or, you know,
yeah,
seasons.
Yeah, better than it was, but I think what worries you is that what you see of Darren Williams, you think to yourself, he's not getting better. You know, the other guys are playing well. You worry about Brook Lopez is playing much better than people were going to give him credit for.
I love Brook.
And, you know, Evans is good. I think Joe Johnson started out really slow, and now he's really coming on. But you're looking, if they get swept, you're going to think to yourself, well, next year will be better. But you think to yourself, well, why would I think that?
Well, that's the thing. That's the bigger problem. And you could take this season and say, well, it was clearly a success, you know, judging by what they've done in the last few seasons. But you also look at it going forward, and you see some of the other teams below the Heat, and you say, well, there's room for them to grow. There's not a lot of room for the Nets to grow. They have some long-term contracts with guys like Wallace, Johnson, Williams, Brook Lopez. They're not going to be easy to move. So what? And they don't have the young guys that you were hoping would step up. Marshawn Brooks, being the biggest one, has just regressed to the point where he's almost a non-factor on this team. So you are saying to yourself, where are they going to go? They're not going to have a lottery pick. So they're going to have some pick in the 20s, which isn't going to land you somebody that's going to be an impact player unless you hit a home run somewhere, which the Nets don't seem to do very often in the draft. So Are we looking at a team that's going to be the Atlanta Hawks of the last 5 years?
That was actually the team I was going
to
say.
Well, now they're trying to even get Josh Smith, so they are literally just
becoming. I was
going to
say they're going to be a team that, like, you know, isn't going to embarrass themselves, but realistically you don't think they're the best team in the league and they have a shot.
Yeah, but as a Net fan, and I would say you're a Net fan, though, right?
Yeah, of course.
Do you sign up for
that? I've been to Brooklyn. Yeah. Relative to what it used to be, yeah. But it's a little frustrating because your best player, you're screwed. Your best player is not that good.
But I think, though, and the NBA is the league where the best team wins more often than any other sport.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? The best team in the league typically does win that championship. You don't see as many upsets as you see in the NFL with, you know, the Ravens or the Giants or one of these lower seeds going right through. And in baseball, too, you see the Giants have done it the last couple of years, two of the last 3 years. But that being said, if you continuously can get it put together a team that can make the playoffs and potentially be a top four seed and get a home, you know, a home series, you always got a shot.
You always have a shot.
Because you never know what an injury to LeBron James or injury to Carmelo Anthony or another team knocking off one of those big teams. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's where the Nets got to hope for.
However,
they're not going to beat the Heat, but maybe some other team could knock the Heat off. Maybe the Celtics just rally around their veterans and gritty team, match up decently against the Heat. Maybe they could knock them off, and then they can go out, and then the Nets can go out and beat the Celtics. So that's why I sign up for it. Let me get into the playoffs the next 5 seasons.
And see what happens.
See what happens.
It's fine.
Nobody thought when the Nets made their runs, you know, in the NBA Finals a decade ago, those teams were not the best team in the league. I mean, it was the Eastern Conference. So they were kind of, you know, they were good for the Eastern Conference, but it was an exciting time to be a Nets fan. Why could you not sign up for that? Being in the New York area, everybody judges by championship or bust. You got me get in the playoffs and let me get a month, especially basketball, last 6 weeks in the playoffs or whatever, you know. Let me get into the playoffs and have some fun. And
fair enough.
I'll sign up for that.
That's
and
fine.
They do have a nucleus that, although they're old and they're signed up, and all the negatives that we just talked about, that they don't have a lot of room to make changes. That is a team that should consistently get into the playoffs in the East.
I see that since I left, you have maintained your Homer, always positive.
That's
never as bad as people think it is.
That's it. That's
nice
it.
To see things haven't changed.
Now let's go, you know, across the river there, and we'll talk a little bit about the New York Knickerbockers.
Who are down by 20, right? 25 right now. They're playing good defense.
I knew this was going to be a tough game for them. Look, they limped themselves into the All-Star break.
Let me tell you something. The Knicks stink.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you right now. The Knicks stink. Everyone I work with is big Knicks fans, so you wind up watching it because you're betting on the games with your buddies.
Mm-hmm.
And Shumpert isn't what he was, and everyone thought he was going to be great. I got nothing but good things to say about Carmelo Anthony, but I have nothing but bad things to say about everyone else. They play defense once in a while. You know, why are they getting credit for playing defense once in a while? It's your job to play defense.
Do you know that statistically their defense is better under D'Antoni than it is under Woodson? Isn't that amazing?
What stat? By
points. Points given up per game.
That's unbelievable.
Isn't that amazing? And you think, you know, when he first took over and they started clamping down, but they just give up points now. And you look at that team, and we talked about it at length before the season about how old they were. And, you know, they're going to be fine. They're still going to be a 1, 2, or 3 seed. I do think Indiana is a better overall team, and they're getting Granger back. And for the people out there that say that Indiana doesn't have any scorers, Paul George is a stud.
He's very good.
Very good.
The Knicks have too many chuckers on their team. Like, it's fine that Carmelo is a chucker because he's actually he's a good scorer. Like, he knows that. But, like, J.R. Smith, he'll go 2 for 18. He'll still shoot.
Yeah.
He'll still shoot at the end of the game.
Yeah. And that's the problem is that he is their second scorer. Novak, as much as Knicks fans loved him last year,
he's not been great.
He's been horrible. And against good teams that play defense, he's not existent.
He was awful in the 3-point contest.
Yeah, he eats up minutes. And he has just gone back to the Novak that came
before
into the league.
Yeah, you're right.
Before that little stretch he had last year. Now, the big question marks they have is what are they going to do with Stoudemire? I don't know whether he started tonight. I think they were talking about him. He's going to be starting tonight. I'm not sure. He's actually given them more offense than I thought he would, but he plays no defense.
None.
And he doesn't rebound anymore.
No, and
he plays too far away from the basket.
He does that little, like, one-handed push jump or whatever that thing is called that he does. And it's, I actually think a bigger problem is their point guard situation.
Yeah.
Why do you have Felton and Jason Kidd on the floor at the same time?
I don't get that either. And that leads me to my next point.
It kills both of them.
See, we still transition so well together. That's exactly what I was going to start talking about.
Where you at, Tony?
We're going to get to OKC in a minute.
Oh,
but,
God.
What I think they need to do with Jason Kidd, look, they're going to be a 1, 2, or 3 seed. We can get that. They got to be looking right now at April, May basketball. And to me, they got to start limiting Jason Kidd to 20 minutes a game. He's a guy who can turn on. Get that dude fresh legs, because as I do think Raymond Felton is a solid point guard.
I do.
But he's not a closer, and he turns the ball over late in games. Not a great decision maker. I think Jason Kidd is going to be a point guard in a backup role that can come in big spots. Let him be the closer, and they had talked about that before the season. Remember
they
all the talk
about
he
that.
Was going to. He goes, I don't care who starts. I just want to be the
but
one.
But don't you think?
But he doesn't do that.
Don't you think that will affect Raymond Felton, who admittedly came in fat last year because he didn't like where he was, and
yeah.
I worry that if like he knows like I'm starting, but I'm never going to finish.
Well, this is what I'm saying then. You get these last couple months, give him a chance just to run the show at point guard without Jason Kidd on the floor. And if he wants to prove himself to be the guy that can make big shots, this is where you could experiment some. The Knicks can experiment some because they're not going to fall below the...
I agree with you. I just don't know. I think mentally it'll be a problem for Felton.
Well, this...
You're right. They're playing Jason Kidd way too much.
They're playing way too much. The other night he had 33 minutes, and the dude had 4 points and 2 assists.
Yeah, he's not even,
getting
assists. He's not even getting assists.
No, I know. He's not. He's bringing nothing.
It's like, what are you doing? You're just running up and you're doing sprints.
And not even that well.
Yeah, and he's not even really running because he's slow. He's not doing anything.
So I think that's what we're going to see.
Knicks down by 30 right now in his second. No. I'm pacing him up 140.
Now, one of my bold predictions was that they were not going to make it out of the first round, and I could definitely see that happening.
That's fair. That could be a good bold prediction for you.
I think I'm liking that one right now. They're not going to get out of the first round. They could prove me wrong, and it all comes down to Carmelo. If Carmelo just steps up his game, he does have the ability to carry a team, especially early on when you're playing a sixth seed in the playoffs. He can carry his team for a series and win, but he doesn't have that track record to do that in the playoffs. He doesn't.
I am with you. I also worry about their coach a little. I've been to a few Knick games. I see Carmelo Anthony make like 8 of his first 10 shots, and they take him out.
Yeah.
If a guy like that is scoring, just keep him in the game.
Yeah.
He'll have halftime the rest.
Yeah, he'll have halftime and then the fourth quarter because you'll be up so much.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
I don't know.
I'm no basketball coach, but let's talk before I even bring the mic over to Tony D's side of the glass. I want your opinion on the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's weird because it seems like people are still kind of jumping off the bandwagon here because they can't beat the Heat. Because, they are such a two-man offensive game. I think, Serge Ibaka got off to a good start this season, but people have seen him not really take that next step that everybody thought he could do. Kendrick Perkins, I'm still shocked at how non-existent that guy is. So, before I bring it over to Tony D, what are your thoughts about Oklahoma City? And if you were handicapping it, would you still say they're the team that's going to represent the Western Conference in the finals? Or is it?
I would say that I will yield to Tony, but I think that I love Russell Westbrook. I think that he's taking a step back this year. I don't know if the stats even back that up. But you watch
9 assists a game. I think
I don't even know if the stats back it up. But you watch him, and we talk about this with baseball players. He is like a lamb slayer. Like he'll have ridiculous games, but in big spots, I don't want to say disappears. But it's like his decision. It's like it's a big playoff game. Like the decision making is awful.
Yeah.
He's a chucker. He forgets to get Durant involved.
He just makes mistakes.
Yeah, and then you look, and in a big game, they'll lose by like 20.
Yeah,
a team that good should never lose by 20.
I agree with you. And to echo your point a little bit about Russell Westbrook, I think what happens with him is that it kind of goes into your theory of Landslayer, is that he's such a ridiculous athlete that he could just completely rely on his athleticism to cover up his mistakes against a bad team. But when you play a good team, like the Spurs, that
you
play
have to be
team
tight,
defense,
mentally and physically
he relies too much on that. Now, Tony D, you got Russell Westbrook's stats up. I mean, the guy's averaging 22 and 8, almost 23 and 8. So
what did he do last year?
I don't think he averaged that many assists last year, did he?
I'm looking at here. 5.5.
He has 5.5 assists last year. This year he's up over 8.
So statistically he's having a great year, but he seems like a lamb slayer to me.
He just makes mistakes all over the place. He turns the ball over. I mean, he throws it away. And he just does.
He's averaging almost 19 shots a game.
And he's not the kind of player that realizes when he's having a bad night. Like maybe start dishing the ball a little more. No, he just keeps shooting.
Yeah.
And he's out of control. And it's him and Kendrick Perkins. Perkins is.
Are you down on them?
I am, absolutely. I don't like the way. If they get behind in a game, it's impossible for them to come back because it's only going to Durant. It's a two man offense. But at the end of games or in critical times, it's really like one man. Durant gets the ball and that's it.
You look at that trade, the Kendrick Perkins trade, when it went down and they got rid of Jeff Green. And, you know, people were wondering what the Celtics were doing, but it just goes to show you what kind of franchise they are and the decision-making they made. Because, I mean, this guy was the guy they thought they couldn't win in the playoffs without him, if you remember the Celtics.
Yep.
He's non-existent. I mean, what gives with him? Is he just lazy? Is he just, he's not old. It's
no,
like,
definitely not old.
Well, he had that knee injury, right?
Yeah, but that was...
Maybe he just never recovered.
Never
he's not in the best of shape.
Yeah, way. Exactly. So, Tony... If you're looking at the teams in the West, and we talked about this a little bit last week, the Clippers are now starting to get respect after Chris Paul's come back.
And
the Spurs are still, nobody ever gives them credit.
Nobody gives them credit, but that's the only team in the West that I would be worried about. I think they can pretty much handle everyone else, but the Spurs.
Even a team like Memphis that's gritty and tough.
I think it would be tough, but I think they would... In the long run, pull that series out. But it's the Spurs.
How important is it for them to get the one seed, or does it not matter at all?
No, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't think so either, because you're going to have to get through the Spurs.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, they're going to win that first round. I don't think it really matters who they play in the second round. I mean, once you get to that second round in the West, you kind of jumble those teams together.
Yep.
So I don't disagree with you at all there. I think the one seed is not a huge deal. It's not as big of a deal as it is for the Knicks to maintain a two or three.
Yeah.
So... Let's talk a little bit about some of these trade rumors. Trade deadline's tomorrow, I think, at 3 o'clock. So, you know, we got, you know, less than 12 hours to go here. What do you think, there's going to be any of these big trades? And I'm going to rattle off a couple of the big names that are said to be on the market here. Millsap, who I really like. Ben Gordon, Eric Bledsoe from the Clippers has been rumored. Josh Smith has been rumored to go everywhere. People are still talking about Dwight Howard, even though the Lakers say they're not trading him. There are people.
Why would you want them?
The Lakers say, the Lakers said today that they're like, he's going to be the face, like the next face of their franchise.
I know. I'm hearing all that. They're saying all those things, but then you listen to like Wojciechowski and Mike Greenberg, and these guys are like, I don't believe any of it. He's still on the block. But as a Net fan, and I've been saying it since midseason last year, I don't want Dwight Howard. Why would you trade away Brook Lopez, your leading scorer, away with a pick and more pieces to get Dwight Howard, the guy who is just disintegrates any clubhouse he's in. But I got to mention,
just got traded, right? The number 5 pick got traded?
I don't know. If you got that, you could bring that up.
It's on ESPN, I think, Tone.
Tone, see if you could pull that up.
Houston just got the number, or they traded the number 5, like the guy they just picked.
Oh, the guy who hasn't played yet?
The guy
who won't fly an airplane?
Not that guy. He's in a D-League, right?
Riding a coach bus somewhere because he won't get on an airplane. But the trade rumor I heard that Wojciechowski broke today, and he says it's a legitimate offer that's being considered by both sides, and I have no idea why in the world Boston would do this. But he verified, and he's no Nets homer or anything. He's saying Humphreys, Marshawn Brooks, and the first-round pick for Paul Pierce. Which would be a win-now thing for the Nets, without a doubt. You're giving up. But what you're giving up as far as current players is nothing. Chris Humphreys is out in la-la land.
Played awful.
Marshawn Brooks is worthless right now. And maybe he could – I still think that guy could be a productive scorer in the NBA. Give a team 12 to 14 points. And the first-round pick at this point, like we talked about, they're going to have a mid-20s pick. They want to give that up for Paul Pierce to try to give a shot now. I mean, Paul Pierce still at times this season has carried – the Celtics in games where, you know, he put up a triple-double the week before the All-Star break.
I would do it. I don't think they will, though.
But why would they? Would think that they can get a lot more than that package. Now, he also said what's holding it up is the Celtics also want C.J. Watson, the backup point guard, who actually is pretty good. Came over from the Bulls. He's pretty good. You know, nothing great, but to bring that in there, which would kind of handcuff the Nets a little bit, because C.J. Watson gets probably 18 to 20 minutes a game right now. They would need to find another point guard to fill that role. But I would do that. I would do that. I would obviously want Josh Smith and Paul Millsap. Again, I don't know why any team has any desire in this package, and it's always the same little package that the Nets are putting together. We're going to give you Marshawn Brooks, who averages 4 points a game. We're going to give you Chris Humphries, who's doesn't even start. Reggie Evans has literally no offensive game at all and starts over him.
I like Reggie Evans.
I love him. And I'll tell you, he would be a great – the Knicks would love to have Reggie Evans. You know, because he's averaging 9 rebounds a game in like 20 minutes. I was saying on Twitter the other day, if he played, at, you know, 35 minutes a game, he would be leading the league in rebounds by a wide margin. It's insane. When he gets 30 minutes or more, he's averaging like 13 rebounds a game. But, you know, he has just zero offensive game. But for a team, I think he's very important to the Nets. But the reason I'm saying that is, I mean, that's where Humphries has come from. I mean, he was an integral part of the Nets when they were bad. Now that they're making this move, I thought he would still be a 10-10 guy, and he is just awful. Absolutely awful. So why would any of the teams I just named, Utah, Atlanta.
Well, Boston wants to get younger.
Well, Humphries isn't young. Humphries is like 30-something.
Yeah, but aren't they getting –
They're getting Marshawn Brooks, who's young, and a pick.
Yeah. So they'd be getting younger.
They'd be getting younger. I guess if they think that, you know, Marshawn Brooks could turn into what the Nets were hoping when they drafted him last year, I guess, and you just take Humphries to make the salary thing work.
I think they want to get rid of Josh Smith because he's just one of those guys. He'll always be a freak of nature, but not necessarily incredible.
Yeah, I mean he would help the Nets for sure. I'll be curious to see if any of these deals go down. I don't, in my heart of hearts, I don't believe that you find that trade at all or no.
Yeah, Houston acquired the number 5, whoever was picked 5th, and then they sent Marcus Morris to Phoenix for a 2nd-round pick.
Okay.
I don't know any of those guys.
I know Marcus Morris. Yeah, Marquise Morris.
It says Marcus.
I think he's you know, again, that's not one of the blockbuster deals that
we're talking about
here. I don't know that any of these guys. I mean, maybe Millsap will get traded. I would love for the Nets to get any of the 3 guys we just talked about. I just don't see it happening. But let's stick with basketball. A couple more topics before we move over to baseball. Lakers and the Celtics, really quick. You think? Both of them make the playoffs? Neither? One of them? I mean, the Lakers have any shot of overcoming? I think they're 3 games out of the playoffs.
I think they do make it.
You do?
Playoffs. Yeah.
The only problem I have with that is I don't know what team in the West is going to collapse, because I don't see them going on a ridiculous run of going, you know, 800 in their last, you know, 2 months of the season. So one of these other teams is going to have to collapse, and I just think the Western Conference is pretty deep, even at the end of that, you know, of the top 8 teams. I don't know which team is going to have that collapse.
I don't know.
I think maybe I just
rely on Kobe too much. I in my mind, he won't let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not a very scientific way.
Yeah. And now the Celtics, I think they make the playoffs only because the bottom end of the East is so bad. I don't know what team's going to jump over things. I mean, people are now, since the Rudy Gay trade, people are jumping on Toronto's bandwagon because they look good. You know, they beat the Knicks there, but they're 7 games out. That's not a lot of time to pick up 7 games.
They already played like 55 games, right?
Yeah. I mean, you're going to pick up 7 games on a team and
in
30, 20, yeah, with 30 to play, it's like, I don't know that that's a possibility.
That's a lot.
So I do think the Celtics get in, and, you know, they're just a veteran team and well-coached team. Maybe Jeff Green, who's starting to heat up a little bit.
He's playing well.
Yeah.
He's helping my fantasy team out.
Yeah, me too. Helping, you know, so he can get back on track. Now, the last thing we want to talk about quickly is the Jerry.
We talked a lot of basketball today.
I did
not sign up for this.
Yeah, I know. Did you know we were going to talk a half hour NBA?
No,
talk?
I did not.
Well, okay, so Jerry Buss obviously passed away at the age of 80. The question really, it came from Neil Lynch, comedian extraordinaire Neil Lynch. is he the best owner in sports history? Now, I can't go back and talk about Branch Rickey or these guys from way, way back. But in my lifetime, I don't even think there's a doubt. The guy had 10. He had 10
titles.
Does he
get credit for that? I mean, like, he's not picking the players.
This guy took over a team in a league where at the time that the NBA was crumbling.
The success of his team is unmatched.
But the reason why he's getting those guys in there is because he was the first owner in the NBA to overpay for the star, bring in celebrities. Like, you know, if the Lakers weren't getting movie stars to come to their games in the 70s. He made it an event.
All right.
He brought in cheerleaders. He brought in all these things that now every team does. He did all of that, you know, ahead of the game, and that brought now. That's why like every free agent wants to go and play in LA.
If you feel that strongly, I'll go with you.
So if you don't think he did, then you don't want to give credit to any owner. Then why even have a discussion?
You pick the topic.
So you just think that you think it's a bogus question. Owners mean nothing.
I don't think
Woody
they mean
Johnson
a lot.
Then. Okay. Some teams are always bad.
Because the people, well, I think what makes a good owner is he picks a smart guy underneath him. Woody Johnson picks lapdogs underneath him, so they just let him do whatever he wants.
But that's fine and good. And Jerry Buss, you
said.
I like
Steinbrenner. I thought he was pretty good.
Yeah, they were really good in the '80s under his watch.
Wow.
They were fantastic. George Steinbrenner. How many times are you going to fire Billy Martin? That guy, you're going to say George Steinbrenner over Jerry Buss. If you're going to have the argument,
when you're the GM of a basketball, or when you're the owner of a basketball team and you happen to have, you know, three of the greatest players of all time play for you, how much credit am I supposed to give you?
Okay, so the owner means nothing.
No, I'm asking how much credit am I supposed to give you?
A decent amount. Like you said, he's the one that put a team in place. And by team, I mean a management team in place. Step back. He didn't want to be Mark Cuban and be all up in people's face, but he was the guy that every player can go talk to.
You know what? Then fine.
There's a lot to be said for the people that the anti-Jerry Jones. He is a hands-on owner, but he would be the first to admit he doesn't know X's and O's of basketball.
He's probably the best at picking people to do the things that he knows he doesn't know.
He ran it like a business. His main business. He was not one of these guys who had millions. You know, he made his millions.
I would say the Rooneys in Pittsburgh are probably better.
Or your boys, the Maras in.
The reason I didn't say the Maras is because I think that, you know, what do they do? The Giants are just consistent, but I don't necessarily think. I think the Giants have always had a good fan base. I mean, maybe you could say the original Wellington Mara, but we're not talking about guys that old.
Okay.
I'm talking about current guys. I would say the Steelers do a good job. They're always successful. Even when they have changes, they always seem to put
they have an identity, which I think the Lakers have. And I think if you have an identity that extends over decades, that's a reflection on the owner.
Very true.
You know, the identity that the Steelers have is a reflection of their
owner. Where do you put the Wilpons?
Slightly, can I put it in between Rooney and Buss?
1B? Yeah.
Somewhere in there. They have an identity. You know the Mets have an identity.
It's not a good one.
No, it's not. Well, that's another good transition.
See what I did there?
Look at that segue.
Tony, are you taking notes, Tom?
In the business, they call that a segue,
exactly.
We're going to transition over to the New York Metropolitans. You and I talked at length.
We're not going to talk about how good they're going to be because I can't have another conversation like that. So if that's what you're going to talk about, let's go on to the next team.
Well, we don't need to go. We talked at length about the Mets last
year.
I just want to talk about what's happened in the last week. Obviously, we knew about Francisco's injury. We talked about that, about Parnell stepping in. But now Daniel Murphy's hurt. He needed a cortisone shot.
Yep.
Never a good sign.
Yep.
So
he's never injured Daniel Murphy. He should be fine.
It's just amazing. How do you come in with an oblique or what is it? Some sort of lat or something. He's got some sort of side injury early on in camp. The problem with that is, I mean, as much as he's just an average player, and he is, who are you going to put at second base? Or Danny Valdez been? I mean, that's one thing. Quintanilla, you're going to put Justin Turner there?
You want him to play. Oh, I mean, Justin Turner may have to.
Yeah, I mean, who are those guys are you going to – I mean,
if Murphy can't play?
If Murphy's out for an extended period of time.
I think Turner. Or,
I think you turn it over to Valdez and just give him a chance.
I got a feeling that Valdespin could have one of those springs where he gets no hits.
And he could have a spring where he hits 400.
Because he had a little success, and he may just swing for the fence.
He's over there wearing his Marlins hat on Twitter.
I could see him hitting under 100.
Yeah, I mean, he did.
You said, he could hit 500.
He was a shooting star for us Met fans when he was hitting those pinch-hit home runs off Papelbon and all. But, yeah, I think, I let Jordani Valdespin say, yeah, there's your chance. Or you give your boy Rhys Havens a shot. Remember
still
that guy?
Team?
You know,
the Rule 5 guy. Right?
Yeah. Rhys Havens was one of their draft picks.
Who was the Rule 5 guy?
Oh, that guy that came in there. He was the next Jeff Kent. He was the next Dan Uggla.
Yeah.
Remember he had all this pop? He's got to be out of baseball. No, Rhys Havens was their first pick.
Yes.
Like in 08 or so. And just his he's really playing for his last shot here. He might even be bumped off the 40-man. You know, he's in big-time trouble.
I got to find out who that Rule 5 guy was.
We got to figure that out. Why don't you look that up? I'm going to transition over to the New York Yankees now. The big thing now, and I thought when we first sent out the email, the big thing was going to be that Jeter was seen limping off the podium, and he's still there. He's going to be DHing through most of the spring. And really, if there's one guy you really need to be a rock for you if you're the New York Yankees, it is Derek Jeter.
Brad Emus, by the way.
Oh, Brad Emus. Where is he? What is he up to? He's probably hosting a podcast at his basement somewhere in the Midwest.
He's in Toronto.
Of course. Oh, I'm sure they have a lot of holes over there in Toronto. You got a real good shot over there, Brad. Brad Amos. We talked about him at length in the show, man. We had high hopes for him. 18 home runs, I think I predicted.
Yeah.
Brad Amos.
Sorry, God.
We're talking about Jeter and his, you know, his noticeable limp. I'm still not really worried about Derek Jeter. I don't know if you were still listening to me and Moose were talking about it last week, but I think you could still pencil him in 280, 340 on base percentage. He's not going to steal bases and all, but solid shortstop. I don't think you have to worry about him. But the big thing is Phil Hughes. Now, when it first was reported, he tweaked something in pitching, fielding drills, and they say he tweaked something in his upper back. Now it's come out, it's a bulging disc, which means most likely he had that injury and he just tweaked it even further. You don't just uncover a bulging disc covering first base. So that's a big deal for them. It's a big deal for him. I mean, they say
it's not a big deal.
Well, they shut him down for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You get a bulging disc in your back as a pitcher, like a fragile pitcher like him, mentally, and throwing his whole routine off, you know, going into spring training here, they really need it to be just 2 weeks. I mean, I'd be much more worried about that than I would the fact that Derek Jeter might be walking with a slight limp.
I think offense is a bigger problem for them than pitching. I'm not worried. I think Pineda is going to come back.
Now, I don't know if you continue to listen to the show, but Sean and I were talking about the Yankees, and he said a caller called in to Michael Kay and was like, you know, we sit here and bash the Yankees offense, but most teams, at least 10 or 11 teams in the AL, would love to have their offense. And I don't think that's true. And I can name four offenses quickly off the top of my head in the American League that's significantly better than the Yankees. And, you know, they have an outfield without a lot of pop other than Granderson. Defensively, they're going to be very good. But, you know, out of their corner outfield positions, they're going to get 20 home runs. Not a lot of teams win big-time games in the major leagues with their corner outfield positions producing 20 home runs. I know they're going to be fast. You got to hope that Gardner could stay healthy and go back to where he was a few years ago. And you got to hope that Ichiro plays like he did in September as opposed to the way he played the 25 months before that. So I think I agree with you. They got problems there. I mean, Teixeira has fallen off year after year after year slowly.
But he still puts up decent numbers.
Still puts up decent numbers, but not the numbers we're talking about, Pujols numbers or Cabrera numbers. I mean, he's a very good first baseman, but he's fallen back into that second tier first baseman. And then you got Youkilis that these Yankee fans are like, all we need Youkilis to do is give us 25 home runs and bat 280. And we're like, yeah. If you could get 25 runs and bat 280 at Youkilis, then yeah, then your offense is good. But did you see him last year?
I think Youkilis will be
240 last
year. I think Youkilis will do what he did last year. He will have like a good month because he'll be fired up.
When he first got traded, he was very good. But then after that, he was worse than he was for the Red Sox when he got traded.
But I'll say that.
Hopefully he just breaks his leg and doesn't play for the Yankees.
Well, then he buries himself by saying he's forever going to be a Yankee.
I'll say this. I'm not as positive on Derek Jeter as you guys are. I mean, the guy who's still limping and just walking, like, I had ankle injuries and mine weren't broken, and those things still hurt. And this guy, you know, he's getting older.
He'll be fine.
He'll be fine relative to most people. But when the Yankees look Derek Jeter, they don't look for him to be a decent shortstop. He's a leader. He's great. And I don't know that he will have the ability to be as consistent as he normally is.
All right. Well, the Yankees will be – both teams will be interesting to watch. The Mets do have
– Brad Amos is back on the Mets after getting cut by the Blue Jays.
Yeah,
no, he's not.
Yeah, he is.
It's a shot. Another shot.
They need him. Well, now we know who our second base is. If Steve Murph can't hang in there. All right, quickly, World Baseball Classic. You into the World Baseball Classic? I feel like you'd be a guy who'd be into it.
When it's on, I watch it.
Yeah.
But I don't care. Like, all these people, they want to play. They don't play. Who are they playing for? Let's play the games, and then I'll be into it.
Now, I got some odds for you for countries. Who would you say would be the
Dominican Republic. Dominicano.
No. Odds on favorite.
China.
No, it's America. 2.5 to 1.
Oh, no shot.
5 to 2 odds for America. I agree. No shot. None of them want to play.
Yeah.
They did just
Dominican. They're like fighting for their life.
Detweiler. Dominican Republic's 13 to 4 odds.
I'm taking them all day.
Japan is 7 to 2. Venezuela's 15 to 2. Korea's 10 to 1. And Cuba, 16 to 1.
Cuba, no shot.
If I knew you were going to do these, I would have had Chris call in. Deromo got to call in. He's been playing this thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He played in the thing. He knows Deromo will know. Now, the only other thing I'll say.
Did he play?
Yeah. Pitched.
How did he do?
He did all right.
Let's get the stats.
I can pull him up.
He was a big-time pitcher, Chris Deromo.
I would like to see his World Baseball
Classic. It was very hard. Nice 12 to 6 curveball. He was good. After Cuba, it's Canada, 18-1. Now, Canada, we all know, I'm sure Jason Bates probably starting a cleanup for them. But the story coming out of Canada is, you know, starting shortstop?
Well, I only know because you told me.
Russell Martin.
I thought he was second base. He's shortstop?
No, shortstop. My man is holding. Well, he says he wants to. I don't know if they're going to let him.
Who else is there? They don't have a shortstop?
Who knows who the best shortstop in Canada is? I have no idea. But that being said, to me, that's awesome. That makes me want to watch the World Baseball Classic. If you could just see a guy like Russell Martin.
But it kind of makes it a joke.
He came up as an infielder, didn't he? Played some infield out in Canada?
Mike, come on. That's kind of a joke. The whole nation, you can't find a shortstop? The whole nation? Like, I'm not talking about, like, the guy has to be...
It's a big country size, but they only got, like, 30 million
the
people.
Guy doesn't need to be, like, an all-star. Doesn't even need to be on a major league roster. You can't find anyone in the minor leagues like, that guy could play shortstop for us. Not one person in the whole league?
I don't know. Maybe they're...
From Canada? Like, a team that... A country that has at one time had two professional teams? You can't find one?
They don't have him. Oh, I don't know what you're going to say. Russell Martin.
It's not great. That's embarrassing.
Maybe he's really good. How do you know he's not good?
Because he's not a good baseball player at his current position.
I think he's a very good defensive catcher. I disagree with you about that.
You're naming one aspect. He's an awful hitter.
Okay. But if he was
about John Buck. You told me about John Buck, yes, but then you had to uncover that he hit 192.
But he had 25 home runs a couple years ago.
Once again, you're so positive.
And John Buck can be a nice bridge gap for the Mets.
Go for it.
We'll spend the next 30 minutes breaking down John Buck. All right, lastly on baseball. We wanted to get to this last week. We pushed it off, then it went to the 5-10, and then Neil called in and told us all about his Hollywood lifestyle, whatever Neil was talking. Who knows? He was drunk, and he was making very rude comments about my sister-in-law. It was uncalled.
Was he really? What is he saying about Lisi?
All of a sudden, he just dropped my sister-in-law.
What is he about Lisi?
He was just, what I did is I made fun of him because I'm like, listen, I think your act is very funny, but you have to know, looking back at your act, that no girl's going to want to date you after
zero girls.
And he goes, that's not what your sister-in-law said. He pulls that card out.
I got to tell you.
I was like, what?
I got to tell you.
He just said,
I love
Neil.
We went to college together. Baby Lisi is
out of his league.
Way out of his
league. You know my sister-in-law.
He has less than zero shots. Less than zero shots.
Hopefully Neil will be listening or calling.
She would have to be.
That is the definition
not
of
even
marrying up if Neil could pull
not even desperate. She would have to be like under the influence of something. There's no shot of her. No shot. And if she ever watched that, that's before she even watches that.
Yeah.
If she ever watched that and some of the stories Neil tells, she has no shot.
Yeah, Neil might have some trouble there with Baby Lisi.
Yeah.
Maybe
Neil should go on a Bachelor. But we'll get into that later.
We have plenty of time. We'll close with Neil Lynch
talking. I'm talking
about the Bachelor. All right. So the question was going to be, what do you think the role, and Tony, you could chime in here.
Tony is a commissioner.
What do you think the role of a commissioner in a fantasy league should be?
Tony's role is very different than other commissioners.
Why? Why do you say that?
Tony has the role, as he is in life, by the way. Mike, you'll attest to this. If Tony is vibing with you and he agrees with what you're talking about, he will respond immediately.
Yeah.
Before you even hit send. But if you write something as a commissioner, like, I don't like that rule, or what are you doing, Tony?
All
silence.
Of a sudden, that dude can't find a phone charger.
Aunt Giggs told me this story.
I respond to everything. Aunt Giggs. Oh, that's the guy. Aunt Giggs. He said, oh, please, that kid.
Yeah. Now, here's Tony what he thinks the role of a commissioner is, and then I'll answer.
No, well, I'm gonna narrow the question down a little bit. Because what happened, I'm in a baseball league. Coach Ireland is in the league.
I'm the champion of the league.
Rich from Shelton. I'm a three-time champion of the league. So it's cute that you got your one little title. That's adorable.
He won a championship since I've been there. Never.
It's adorable. Yeah. Your one title is adorable. I really think it's cute, and I like it. I got three.
I hope you win money this year.
I always do.
It'll be nice to see you.
Always do.
Not really.
I am deep in the black in that league. That paid for the Perry Avenue Bar and Grill, that league. But so Sean, Coach Ireland, had been the commission since the beginning, since 2003. This league's been in effect 10 years. And he decided he's stepping down because a group of other owners, basically, in my mind, they formulated a coup. And they had a formulated strategy where they were just going to needle him and complain about this, conspire behind his back. Lo and behold, he sends an email out, steps down. One of the other owners steps up. I nominate.
Who was that other? Who was that owner, Mike? It was you.
Mm-mm.
Yes, it was.
It was Paco Fabian from Norwalk who said, nominated
you. Are you
sure
about that?
You want me to pull up the email?
I
will pull it up. All of a sudden, now he steps in and he's like, you know, coming into all this fanfare. But the question about it is, Coach Ireland ran the league where he would listen to opinions, but we did not take everything to a vote. There were certain things as a commissioner
that you have to.
He was like, well, yeah. He was just like, no, we're not voting on that. This is what the league is.
Yeah.
Now, there are plenty of things about the league that I disagree with, but my whole thing is, and O could attest to this, if you don't like the league, then just quit the league.
Yeah.
You and I, O, were in a league. We didn't like it. Even though they were changing the league, we just quit. We're like, all right,
absolutely,
the last time I'm going to do the league. So I don't think that a commissioner, to me, a role of a commissioner, set a draft date that everybody can get to.
Yeah.
Collect the money, pay the money on time, and have a structure that everybody understands and it's clear. And there's not like, you know, I almost would rather have a dictator like commissioner that's like, here are the rules. So going into it, you know what the rules are.
Yeah.
And that's it. I don't need every other, you know. And then next year we have some crazy rule change because, you know, these little group of owners come up with some crazy rule change.
Totally disagree.
Well, now, I'm going to let you speak. But,
will.
Tony, what do you think about the role? Now, you're a commissioner. Do you, in your league, I think you commission a football league.
Yeah.
Do you guys vote on everything? Or is there some things you're just like, this is a format, this is it?
You have to be able to say, this is the way it is, and this is it.
Democracies around the world are crumbling.
But, I mean, at the same time, you also, it depends on, you know, what's
depends on what it is.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, it's. There are certain if you do it that way, that's going to keep people interested. It's not going to, people will hate you after a while if you don't listen to what they have to say and maybe take it into account.
I'm going
to
just let you two guys wrap right here. Why don't you step on? Just step in.
I totally agree with you. That's my whole point. The role of a commissioner in my mind, what Mike named, what he thought the roles were that's what a commissioner's role should be. But what I believe happens sometimes, and this is
in
every
league. What's the role of the commissioner? And you just said, what Mike said is what the role of the commissioner should be.
No.
You just agree with me.
No. I agreed with what you said originally when you were talking about he should collect money and whatever. But
anything after that's great.
In certain situations, I think that if I'm in a league, if I'm a commissioner of a league and Tony's in a league and he has an idea, because I'm in the league, I don't think I should, as a commissioner, should just say that's a stupid idea. Because whether you like it or not, there is maybe a part of you that is biased because, like, maybe I don't like Tony's rule.
And there's probably
other
people that feel the same way about that.
And even if it's the dumbest idea in the world, what you do by saying let's put it to a vote is two things. Number one, it ensures that if other people think what Tony thinks, then maybe I'm crazy. And number two, at least if Tony's outvoted, I don't have to hear Tony anymore continue to say, this is stupid, we should do this. I can say, you know what, Tony? We asked people. Not enough people voted for you.
Why are you saying vote for everything?
What?
We vote every week for these guys.
Yeah.
Wait until the new commission comes in.
That don't happen during the year. It's not about during the year. Like, for example, Mike had that's not true. In this league, everybody, Mike had a very good idea for when to pick the draft and things like that. And they disagreed and said, no, we're not doing it that way. And my whole point was, why not just ask people? Because just because you think it's not the right way to do it, maybe everyone else agrees with Mike, and then it just makes everybody happy, and we move forward. Because sometimes when you're in the middle of it and you are in the league, you can't help but just think about how it affects your personal team.
I don't know.
Ask for a coup. Come on. If you know the people involved, there's no way they're organized enough to.
Something went down. How long did he run the league?
10 years.
Yeah. No, but he's complaining every year.
He had a 3-page email.
That was me. I was like, listen, you guys aren't happy. Get the frig out of here. It's Miley. 10 years?
10 years. We had it on, like, Prodigy. We had it on, like, the Commodore 64, dude.
They like to blame me because I'm the only person who doesn't mind asking the question.
How many years were you in the league before that happened?
Four. Oh,
but every year, even when I got in the league, they were like, watch out, there's a lot of people that complain. They named Zip, they named all these people that complain.
A lot of time, people are going to complain. That's fancy sport, that happens. But, I mean, I almost feel like you have to set up like precedence where you're like, this is the way these rules are. I'm not messing with these rules. If you guys want to vote on other things, then yeah.
But we're not talking about rules that you're thinking we're talking. They're talking about like the structure of like when we should draft and when we should name keepers. Like in our football league.
Oh, I see. Coop's league, he has rules out there that I can't stand.
Coop's league.
They're most ridiculous.
Eli Manning had 90 points or something.
He has point system is fantasy football. One player can beat the entire other team.
Well, it's crazy. But if everyone in the league likes it, then there's nothing you could do about it.
Well, they don't like it, then he go change get and
but
then go another league.
But the thing is with Coop, right? If I bring that up to Coop, and I say, dude, how can one person single-handedly beat another team? He's like, that's the way the points are, and there's like no discussion about it.
But if it has previously been voted on, that's
no,
different.
I was never voted on. These were the
rules.
Well,
then you know what? Then that's a bad job by Coop.
He put the rules in place. He said, here are the rules. You want to join my league? You said, yeah, I'll join the league. Here's my money.
Yeah. I mean,
what I'm saying. And he's like, well, no, you knew the rules when you joined.
There are certain
he didn't change. I understand if he had set up the rules and then he was like, no, now we're changing it and we're going to do this. But if these were the rules.
My point system will never be voted on, in my opinion.
My
never.
Man.
Like, that's the point system
well,
what it is.
Respectfully, I think that league is not about evolving.
Evolves about other ways. There's other things that you can be able to vote
listen,
on.
Listen, you can do whatever. Listen, everybody's allowed to run their own league. The role of a commissioner? I think the role of a commissioner is to just organize the league and organize people so that way if someone feels like something's worth it and there's other people in the league, why not have a vote? What's the harm in having a vote?
Because it's annoying.
What's the harm in having a vote?
It sets the precedence that if somebody complains enough,
not
then
if
you're
somebody,
gonna...
if the whole league, just because you want something, and if everyone else,
it's the whole league that wants.
If the whole league votes for something, then the whole league votes for something.
No, it's not. No, it doesn't even.
See,
just because
once again, that
just
goes
because
back to
one
you,
person
you
brings
as a commissioner like a points like the scoring. So you feel like this is my league, and but if the entire league doesn't like it, then all you're doing.
How do I know
is
it's the entire league?
You
I'm not even getting to that point.
You
no,
have a vote.
I don't even get
but
to that point.
It has to be universally voted, like 100%. Yeah,
I think
no.
There are certain things, like for example, and Moose does a good job of this. When it comes to like money increases, that should be 100% because you don't want to screw somebody who you're friends with. But I think when it comes to other things, you could say, you know what? I think we should have 75%. You know. 75% of the people, they all agree, and that's my point. Because you
and that 75% can start their own little league.
Exactly, and then show me next year how many people left my league and went to your
exactly.
league. Exactly, let me know.
We're gonna see. I predict that this league that's been into its second decade got two more years tops. The whole thing crumbles. The whole thing is coming down.
My league evolves, and there's enough play in the rules and stuff where you can evolve your league without having to mess with certain aspects of it. You know what I mean? Points being one of them. And certain things like that. Like I have keepers in my league. You know what I mean? You can do different things. It's just certain stuff that it's gotta be some kind of you can't just let people start whining and all of a sudden, oh, we're gonna vote on this and change every rule.
Once again, things we were voting on were things that were Mike brought up it was a very good point and people and he was like, well, I don't want
to
vote on
it. The commissioner
that.
Has to be smart enough to know like, hey, you have to be able to recognize stuff too at the same time. Like if somebody brings something up and
I'm not talking about something like I vote we move to 20 teams. I'm not talking about something like that. Like that changes the whole league. But if someone says, hey, I think instead of drafting this way, we should consider drafting this way. Whether you agree with it or not, you know what? If other people agree with you, it may be worth it.
All I'm saying is the closest to put a bow on this argument, which has been great. And we could maybe in overtime we'll talk some more about fantasy sports. But
nobody cares.
Nobody does.
Nobody
cares about our fantasy league. There's nothing more annoying to listen to other people talk about it. But the idea that I came up with, the commissioner decided he didn't want to vote on it. And I'm the one that was like, let's just drop it then.
But
I didn't want to fight it because I'm like, all right, fine. I thought it was a good idea. He was like, well, I think it's – and he said, I think that's dumb.
But that's
and I was
point
like, all right, let's just –
All that does – that example causes animosity. Like, you had a good point, and you were just like, you know, it's not worth it. And he was like, it's not worth arguing about. But if you would have just held the vote, then
it would have passed.
Well,
Michael
would have been settled one way or another because then Moose would have thought, well, you know what, maybe it's not a dumb idea because other people agree with it. Or if it didn't pass, then you would have said, you know what, clearly not enough people agree with me, and then I'm fine and you have to move on. But now, no matter what, you'll always say, you know what, I still think we should have done that.
At least I just like to know that I'm right.
That's my point.
But
now you'll never know.
No, I know. All right, Tony D, you got some say what's?
Yeah.
Would you say what's quick?
I got a couple.
Can you find it?
Make them good.
What?
Absolutely. I got it somewhere around here. Let's see what we got. Short one.
We had a very much more of a structured show when you were here. It was always like two topics. What I tried to bring back was this week we are going to stick to that structure. We had two topics.
Listen, I'm here to adapt to you.
No. I don't want another coup. I don't want to be all of a sudden. You guys are having a show in my basement,
about this today.
And I'm just sitting upstairs.
The shiestiest things we've ever seen in that league. None of them have to do with me. They all have to do with one man.
That man resides
yeah.
in the valley.
Shout out to Richard Milford.
Now Shelton.
Shelton, that's right. Richard.
He's in the valley. All right, what do you got?
How about this, Darrell Revis? Are we going to talk about Revis before?
No, well, I was hoping you would bring this up here. We're going to talk about Revis maybe later on. But
so, Darrell Revis and Richard Sherman over Twitter, a little Twitter war.
I heard this today.
I don't know what started it, but he says, this is Revis. I never seen a man before run his mouth so much like a girl. This dude just steady putting my name in his mouth to get notoriety. Sherman responds, don't need your name. You'll be irrelevant once you step back on the field. Bruh.
Can I tell you how it started?
Get your picks up.
Somebody, some random like fan with like five followers, tweeted Richard Sherman
and, just, like,
and said something, and then Richard Sherman quoted a Jay-Z quote like about like you don't need the truth. Here are the numbers, and he like copied a link that like compared the stats of him and Darrell Revis. Basically saying he was better than Darrell Revis.
I mean, they went back and forth a little.
I think it's fantastic.
Yeah. I think Darrell Revis needs to like shut up a little.
Well, look. And I've been blasting Darrell Revis, but I think that we talked about Richard Sherman, and this guy is an emerging star in this league, and I think it's awesome. And I'm listening on the way home back to Norwalk tonight. I'm listening to Joe and Evan, and I'm listening to Michael Kay, and they're all talking about that Revis just needs to shut his mouth. This is the problem with Twitter, this and that. I think this is great. Since when do we not like trash talking in sports? Since when? Why is Muhammad Ali famous? The guy lost a lot of big fights. It's not like this guy had this career where he never lost a big fight. We like him because of all of that talk. And now all of a sudden we don't like that? I think it's awesome.
I don't like the way they talk trash. Why don't they say like cool things?
I think there were some funny things. There were some funny things in there. To get your picks up was funny.
Yeah.
That's funny. I think nothing really that Revis said was all that funny.
That's what I mean. Like, Revis just talks about, why is this guy talking about me? How about saying, like, point out, like, why he's stuck. Remember when that guy lit you up? Like, I want to hear that type of trash.
Like, right back.
Like, you didn't look great when you got lit up for an 80-yard touchdown. That's what I'm looking for.
Look at this. One Richard Sherman.
One season you will get 8 picks, but it won't happen anytime soon. I did it in my second season, so you have something to chase.
That's
funny, dude. I don't care. Anybody says that's
Darrell
funny.
Darrell Revis is saying, like, get my name out your mouth. Like, that's just annoying. Like, say something about the game. Say something why he's wrong. That's what I want
to
hear.
I think it was awesome. It was entertaining to listen to them go back and forth.
So this is a story. We were talking about the World Baseball Classic on Barstool today. It says it's getting pretty serious. Taiwan snuck 4 scouts dressed as umpires into South Korea to get an inside track.
I love those guys. They really care about
it. I mean, they love it, dude.
From Little League on up.
That's all they care about, dude. They do not produce a lot of productive major leaguers. But I'll tell you what, they do care about baseball there. I love it. I'm pretty excited about World Baseball Classic. I don't know how many games I'll watch, but I'll follow, see who wins and all, you know?
Chris said, by the way, he didn't make the cut. But he did, but he was right there.
Right there.
World Classic. How about NBA trade rumors? We were talking about this earlier. Chris Paul, this came out earlier. They said that Chris Paul wants to get Kevin Garnett to the Clippers. The Clippers know it's a good move, but they're waiting on Chris Paul to force the issue. Like, I've never heard of anything. How is this twisted is that? Like, they're not going to try to get them.
That's the Clippers. Even when they're good, they're inept.
Like, how is that even? I've never heard of such a thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Clippers are good, man. If they add a guy like Garnett right now, that does put them
on. Yeah, it definitely that makes them a hell of a lot.
You know, I even think if they add Millsap for that Eric Bledsoe deal they're talking about, which I think is dead at this point, but, man.
So North Dakota suspended their play-by-play radio announcer.
I saw this.
Because he used the phrase choke job in an overtime loss to Northern Arizona.
What's wrong with choke job? I don't even understand the negative connotation with that. That's not even like, really. Choke job is used like in every sporting event. I guess North Dakota
suspended him. I don't know.
North Dakota's made our state a couple times. They made it, or maybe it was in days when it got there. Was that kid up in the booth of some Division II football school hooking up with some old guy? So North Dakota is making it just a staple in our Say What segment.
How about Derek Jeter on, I don't know where this even comes from, David Price's facial hair?
I'll preface it because David Price said they asked him if he would ever play for the Yankees, and he said, I won't play for him unless they change. I'll never play for him because –
because he can't grow facial hair.
Yeah, he's attached to his beard. So he signed up through 2016, so I don't know why they're bringing up.
Gina said, do you really think some player would say no, all things considered, if it was a good deal for them? I'm not talking about his situation, but if it was a good deal for a player, I'm pretty sure most guys, maybe not all guys, would have no trouble shaving.
Look, I think the rule is ridiculously stupid and is one of the things that annoys me with the Yankees, but look, David Price was getting offered $20 extra million to play in New York, he would do it. Johnny Damon did it. Jason Giambi did it. These are guys that you never, ever would think. They were identity. Nick Swisher had that long hair.
Yep.
They had no problem when that paycheck was coming in. You will cut your hair. Donate it to charity.
So Isaiah Thomas says LeBron is better than MJ. No shock there. They guys hate.
He's a better athlete, right?
Yeah, than MJ.
Isaiah Thomas is a zero.
Yeah, I mean, Isaiah, come on, dude.
He's still pissed off about the Olympics. Jordan comes. Now, how about this? Mike, your boy, Wale, did you hear this?
No, but I love Wale, you know that.
So your boy Wale is at a...
You a Wale fan? You don't know who Wale is.
No clue. He thinks he's talking about a cartoon.
I don't know who Wale
Disney
is.
Movie.
He's a great rapper, but...
So he's at, you know, he's from D.C. He's at the Toronto, Washington.
Oh, I did. I know. I said, yes.
The announcer, Rudy Gay, scores, runs down the court, says something to Wale, call me, blah, blah, blah. The announcer is like, I don't know who that guy is. They pan over to Wale. He's like, I don't know who that guy is. I'm being told his name is Wale. And he's a rapper from DC, blah, blah, blah. Then he goes, he's no Drake, I tell you that. 30 seconds later.
He's no Drake.
30 seconds later, somebody calls Wale up on the phone, and he goes, walks up to the press box and starts yelling at the guy. Then he tweets him. He's like, watch your mouth, to the announcer. And he pissed off because the announcer had no idea who he was. I couldn't believe it. I love Wale, but that kind of, I mean.
That's awesome. Come on.
He walked up and started, the guy's probably like.
What's just funny that this announcer is like, well, he's no Drake.
He's like scared. This white guy is probably like, I'm going to die tonight.
If this rapper's not on Z100, then he must not have made it in this game.
He's no Drake, I'll tell you that. 30 seconds later, while he's leaning.
Look at him. He's not letting it scrill, dude.
He walks up to him and starts screaming at him. Great.
That's fantastic. You got to listen. You know what? Set yourself up with a wildlife Pandora station. It'll change your life.
I'm a Public Enemy type of guy.
Listen, I don't like a lot of new rappers. Not to sound old, but I don't like a lot of the newer rappers, but he's as good as anybody out there right now, I think. I honestly believe that.
I'll check him out for you.
Ronda Rousey this weekend, UFC, first ever women's fight.
Boom.
She is hot.
Yeah, she
is hot. She looks badass, though, too.
Yeah, we got to do a segment on her maybe next week. Ooh,
that'll be on the website tomorrow. I have a couple pictures because she is.
She's no business fight stuff. You're that good looking, dude. People will pay you just to sit and be pretty.
She had 8 fights. 7 of them ended in arm bars. Just girls getting just punished on a man.
I love it.
Awesome.
The Pacers have 93 points in the third quarter.
Yeah, of course they do. They're a legit 2 seed in the East, and they're a team to be reckoned with, though. All right, you ready to go back? Oof. So let's get back to baseball. What do you think, Al?
What do you want to talk about?
We're going to do our top 10. I told you we're very structured here.
Let's do it. We
got 22 minutes left. We're going to do this. We're going to bang on our 5 and 10. Now, top 10 this week, we decided to go with, I picked out 10 what I thought were interesting over-unders.
Okay.
Because whether the number was interesting to me or whether there was a decent storyline behind the team, whether they made big transactions, right, expectations, and all that. So let's
tell me where you want to go.
I'm going to just give you a team over-under. I want you to give me an over-under. We're going to start.
Are you going first?
No, I'm going to go after you. Okay. I'm going to start with the Toronto Blue Jays, 86.5.
Over
to me.
Team has it all.
I do, too. I agree with you. And I think the people, Yankee fans, don't want to believe it. And it amazes me. They're like, you put all these guys together. That never works out. But that's what the Yankees have been doing for the last decade.
Don't say anything about the Marlins, because that was a different team. And this team was actually pretty good last year.
Exactly. If it wasn't for the Morrow injury, they would have been much better. I mean, now you push Romero back to the 5 slot. You know, even if... You know, you can get production out of 2 of the 3 pitchers they picked up with Dickey, Johnson, and Burley. But I think it's safe to say you're going to get production out of 2 of the 3 of them. Mm-hmm. Plus, you add a healthy Morrow. That pitching staff is good, and their lineup is going to be as good as anybody's. So I think the over both, we both agree there. Nationals, 90 wins.
I think this team's going to win 100 games.
I think over there, too. I'm surprised at hello. And
don't forget my number one bold pick last year.
Now, 90, what was weird to me about this is an overlying theme, is 90 is the most wins. There were 3 teams tied with 90. Normally, there's one team that they have up there, 94.5, something like that. This year, Vegas didn't think there was any one of those huge teams.
I think the Nationals are very good.
Yeah, I don't see a weakness in the Nationals, even, you know, even bolstered their bullpen. We'll go over the West Coast. Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, 89.5.
Over.
I'm going under here. I think their pitching staff is weak. I think that they do have one of the best lineups in baseball, but you look at, they had a very good lineup last year, and they had
not
a better,
as good, not as good as this year. Not
well,
as good.
All they added was Hamilton, right?
That's all? He's
yeah.
all?
But they also lost Greinke and Dan Heron out of their pitching.
Dan Heron stunk.
Okay, well, who did they replace him with?
I don't even know.
Justin Vargas? Justin Vargas is a productive pitcher. He is. I mean,
that guy's not bad.
He's not bad, but it's like, you know, now all of a sudden their pitching staff is very mediocre, and I don't know.
That offense can win, is going to win a lot of games.
So we differ there. I'm taking the under there. Dodgers, 90 wins.
I think they're going to win a World Series. Great team.
You love the Dodgers.
I loved them last year, and they let me down. I love them
this
again.
This one, I honestly hemmed and hawed over this one, but I went over as well on this one. I hemmed and hawed because, you know, you got to hope that Beckett – I mean, you have to – Beckett and Crawford are going to be playing, you know.
Adrian Gonzalez.
Right. Adrian Gonzalez had the worst season of his career last year. Is he bouncing back with Chavez Ravine? I don't know. But I'm thinking over, but I'm worried about that one. I put the Indians in here because they made this huge splash with all these – signings that they made,
yep.
They traded for Trevor Bauer, they did all these things. They're at 77.5. What do you got there?
Under. Their team is overrated. They lost Shin Soo-Chu. Overrated.
Exactly.
Under.
I mean,
way
they,
under.
They went out and got Swisher and Bourne.
Good luck with Swisher, paying him $16 million a year.
Yeah, they spent $100 million on Bourne and Swisher, and they got rid of Chu, who I think is a legitimate one of the few five-tool guys in the league.
Mm.
He's going over to Cincinnati, which we're going to next. In that ballpark, at the top of that lineup, he's going to have 100 runs scored, hit 25 home runs, steal 30 bases.
You love that guy.
I think he is a fantasy dream come
true.
He's got a
ring for my team.
So we're going to go over to the Reds. Now, the Reds are 88.5.
Over.
Over. I think that's the weirdest. I mean, this is a team last year that won like 96 games or something. Or they won, right? Mm. Didn't they win 90-some-odd games?
Yeah.
Last year, and they went out and, you know, put them at 88.5 in the Central. I don't know. I think that's a lot. Out of all these teams, I'm most confident in the Reds. Braves, 86.
I think that's the number.
But I know. They didn't. They nailed it right on the button. But what do you got? You got to pick. You can't give me – I don't think Vegas allows you to take
I'll go under just because I don't have a lot of unders. I'll go under, but I think that's very close to what they're going to be. They have a lot of streaky players on our team, so I'm going to go under.
I'm going under, too, and I was hoping that was going to be your over there. We only have differed on one so far, but I'm going under there as well. I just think that the Nationals are so, so good. I think that the Phillies will be a little bit better this year because I think that pitching, the top three in the rotation is going to be good. I think that they're going to I think they're going to be 83, 84 win team as much as there's so much hype surrounding the Uptons coming over there. I don't know. That's where I got them. The Uptons have yet to show all their potential. So the idea that they're going to step in because they're playing with each other, all of a sudden now they're going to live up to all their potential all at once.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot to be hoping for. The Red Sox got rid of Bobby V.
I have over. I think every team in that league is going to be over 500.
79.5. You got it over. I got under. And
I think people are writing off the Red Sox.
You really do.
Well, I don't think they're going to win, but I think they're going to be 500.
Look, I like Pedroia. I like Will Middlebrooks. I think Napoli is overrated. I think he's going to hit home runs, but I don't think he's a guy you really want to be your starting first baseman because I think he's going to hit about 220. I think that Big Poppy.
They got Ellsbury back.
Well, I think Ellsbury, he's got a lot to play for.
Are you down on Big Poppy?
Yeah, I am. Finally, I am. And I've been a huge Big Poppy fan, and I even will make a contention that this guy is borderline Hall of Fame, had a Hall of Fame type career, even though it was shorter than most hitters, but I mean, coming off an injury like that to your lower body when you're that big and that old, I think he's going to have a tough time bouncing back. So I'm taking the under there at 7.5. Yankees, 86.5. Now, this is a team that Mike Francesa was like, callers were calling in.
90. I remember he was saying like 90.
90. Well, no way they'll be under 90. No way. And since the overrunners come out, I haven't heard him mention it once.
I was actually wondering if he had mentioned it.
He had not mentioned it because somebody called in and said 83 games, and he laughed. He hung up on him.
I remember.
83. The 83 guy was closer than Mike was. So what do you got? 86.5.
I think it's very similar to the Braves, where they're right around a number, but I'm going to go under.
I'm going under with the Yankees.
But I think it's right around a number.
I think they're 81 and 81 this year.
I don't think they're 500. But
yeah, I do.
I could see them being 80, 85, 87. I could see them right there. I mean, it's a great line.
And in the last but not least, over in Flushing, Queens, the New York Metropolitan, 74 wins. Oh, what do you got?
I have over.
I got over. I thought you were definitely.
I'll tell you why I have over.
Why do you have over? We just talked about that division being so good.
Well, 74 is a. I mean.
What did they win last year? I don't think they won 74 last year, did they? And they were 9 games over 500 in the second half of the year.
I think 74 is such a crazy number. Like
74 and 88. I don't see them being 14 games under 500 with that pitching staff. That's why.
I could see them being like 75, 76 wins. And I think David Wright will have a better year.
And I think their
pitching staff is going to be good.
I think the pitching staff is going to keep them in games.
No, if the number were 78, I'd be under. But you know.
Okay, well, the number was 92, I'd be under too.
No, but I mean.
What are you saying?
Well,
the number 74,
no,
are you saying?
I'm saying, like, I think it's.
The number was 78.
No, well, I think 78, meaning it's 4 games more. Like, I think it's right. They're going to be right over 74. I don't think they're going to be way over. I don't think they're going to be 500. But 74 is a little too low.
All right. Well, we only disagreed on a couple here, which I'm a little disappointed in. But those are always fun to go through. The only other one I'm going to ask you. So there, I told you there were three teams that were at 90 wins. Two of them are on here, Nationals and Dodgers. Can you guess who the third team was at 90 wins?
The Giants?
No. Giants were at 86.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
which
an
I'm surprised.
Over.
Yeah, I'm surprised
that's
at
over.
That. American League team. Think about the other American League powerhouse. You got to be able to figure that out. In
the
Central.
Not the Rangers.
No, in the Central. The Tigers were at 90 wins
really?
As well. Not Tigers were at 90 wins. I think that they are more of a product of that, not a great division. So, in that lineup, Verlander, Scherzer, Pfister, I don't know. I think that's 90 seems right on the money. I just think that the idea that the Tigers and the Nationals.
What were the Phillies?
I didn't have the Phillies. I think the Phillies were 81.5,
80.5.
That's
over. Phillies are going to be good this year.
Yeah, they were right around 500. I think it was 80.5 or 81.5. And last question I have for you. Who would you say was the worst team? And it
Houston
was,
Astros.
And it was very low.
Houston Astros.
I think
they have
I think it was 64. I got to look it up.
Houston Astros have no major leaguers. It's either them or the Marlins.
I listened to the Bauer Show when I'm in New Haven and the show out of Hartford and ESPN Radio. And they had a guy, they're doing every, 30 teams in 30 days deal. And they had a writer for Houston in there, and they were going through all these scenarios of like, well, this guy steps up, and you got this.
That sounds like you talking about the Mets.
And this guy fans out, and then you have this, and they're like, they could get to 75 wins, like, if everything breaks their way. Houston Astros, actually, oh my God, 59.5. I've never seen one that low in my life.
So they think they're going to lose 110 games. They're awful. They are awful.
That's 103.
They don't have major leaguers.
That's 103 losses.
They are a Triple-A team.
Yeah, they don't have and in their one, a bright flash in the pan.
I'm
superstar,
tell you right now.
F-Mart is
I'm
on.
Gonna tell you right now, and I don't mind telling you this because I know you know what you're doing. If you have any fantasy baseball intelligence, you can really take advantage of that when it comes time to end pitching matchups. There's a lot to be had.
Yeah,
there.
You find out. Yeah, exactly.
There is a lot.
You click on the probable button, and you find out who's pitching against Houston in the American League, and you just sign up. All right, well, we got 13 minutes left over. We're going to go through our 5 and 10.
Just hit me with whatever you want. I'm ready for you.
First one, Danica Patrick, the first woman ever
so
to win the pole at Daytona. Now, this woman, last year, she never finished higher than 17th. Her average position in a race was 28th. They're making it like it's a huge historic event. My question to you is, why is it that big of a deal that a woman – I mean – there is nothing hindering a woman from driving a car than a man.
Well, it is, isn't it? It does take a lot of physical strength.
Strength? It's strength? Because not like these
that's
guys.
That's what they say it does. I have no idea.
I know it takes like stamina because you're sweating and there's all that thing.
I think it takes a lot of strength in the forearms.
You think so?
Yeah.
The forearm thing?
Yeah.
I think, I guess, maybe. I don't know anything
I
about
have no idea.
I have no idea either. It just seems
but
to me.
I'm tired.
If there's a woman who like made it to the major leagues. Made it to the NBA. That's a PGA Tour event. Did
I don't
want to like
hear
that.
About it. Yeah, win the event and we'll talk about
so
it.
So she drives a car really fast. That's not like
no,
a huge.
She drove a car really fast with one lap and no one near her.
Nobody near her. That just means
I'd win the pole eventually.
Doesn't that just mean? No, I don't know anything about NASCAR
that's
either.
That's a tribute to her car.
Doesn't that just mean she has the fastest car?
Yeah, it's a tribute to her
crew. And doesn't that mean if she doesn't win that she's a bad driver? Because she has the fastest car. She started
she has
in
the fastest car. That, remember, because they're always tweaking.
Well,
so this is the problem that these people have. That's why the person wins the poll. The person never wins.
Hasn't won in the last 10 years.
And I guess it makes sense. If you win the poll, right, now you think, well, my car is great. You tell the pick crew, don't touch this car. But everyone else is like, shit, my car is slow. And so everyone else gets better, and you're sitting there.
I guess. Who cares?
That was from someone who has no knowledge in race cars.
But
doesn't that make sense?
It sounded like
Tony,
you,
that made 100% sense.
He was like breaking it down over here.
100%.
Oh, just.
If you're in the poll, you're not touching your car. You're like, guys, put this car away. We'll see you on
put
Sunday.
Put it away.
paint like a big
tiger. If you come in third, you're like, shit, we're just a little slow.
That's twice you said the S word, and I don't like it. Like,
we're allowed to on this.
That's we are on XM here. Number two, we talked about Revis. I just had Revis written down.
I'm tired of Revis.
I am too, but the question is, I have my opinion on it. Should they be actively shopping him right now?
Yes, F him.
And I think there's a couple reasons. One, the guy has, and I think most importantly, this guy has already held out twice. He's in the media now on NFL Network, trashing the Jets. They should have called me.
He's so annoying.
He goes, they haven't called me to tell me if they want him back next year. He's under contract. You now have to call everybody on your roster who's under contract and say, hey, well, you're under contract, but we want you back.
That's your boy.
When is that?
That's
happen?
Your boy, bro.
So there's one. The guy's a malcontent. Number two, this is a guy who's going to be 28 years old next year at the start of the season.
Coming off
a knee injury at a position where you would say, you know, your flexibility in your legs is the most important thing. So you have that come. And he's had significant injuries over the past couple of years. You know what I mean?
I hope he stinks.
And then three,
I'm very annoyed.
He's not going to be back next year. He wants a $100 million contract. The Jets have to. I know that Rex Ryan is predicated upon his defense and all these things. It's not working for them. Where could you spend $100 million better? Would it be adding some offensive line help? Would it be taking that money and going after a quarterback next season when the Sanchez thing finally ends? Or would it be investing in another player on your one squad, the secondary that's been like the strength of your squad? It's like, you know what? I'd rather have them trade him and be on his two safeties. He's not going to come back. So if they can go out, I've mentioned it on our site. I mentioned it on Twitter. The team that makes the most sense is clearly the 49ers. They have 14 draft picks. They have a logjam at running back. You get LaMichael James back. You don't even need a first-rounder. Give me LaMichael James, second-rounder, and then they have 14 picks. Get a couple fourth-rounders.
Do you think LaMichael James could play every down?
No, but they don't. They could piece together LaMichael James. And no running back. There's very few teams in the league that have a feature back. You need, in my opinion, with the Jets, you need playmakers here or there. And at least that guy's got, he's got good speed. He actually is a good pass blocker. He's a tougher runner than he is. He's good at the backfield. I think he could succeed in the West Coast offense at Morty Morning when he's coming. And you get a bunch of picks. And then you take that second round pick that you got, trade it away, and get Percy Harvin from the Vikings, who is apparently on the market for a second round pick. Now, the Vikings have pulled back some of that. But if you could then, you're trading Darrell Revis for LaMichael James, Percy Harvin, and a couple mid-round picks, sign me up. You're not spending a lot of money.
Seems like a lot of work, though.
What's a lot of work?
Seems like that's a lot of moving parts to have happen.
It's two trades.
Yeah, but no, Percy Harvin is, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if they're going to, I think Percy Harvin is not on a block like they say he is.
Okay, well then that's another case.
Great.
I agree with you. He's got migraines, though. He's got migraines.
Yeah.
He does see, you're right about that. What's going on with that?
He's got migraines.
How can they solve migraines?
I don't know, dude. They solve a lot of things.
Exactly. That's all.
Migraines is one of the medical mysteries out there right now. But all right, sticking with the NFL. NFL Combine going on this week.
Yeah.
How much do you follow the NFL Combine? Are you one of those guys that wants to know who had the
I'm interested in who has the fastest one because I always like to see who has the fastest of all time.
And there's a couple quarterbacks that are going to be throwing. I think Barkley and Geno Smith are going to be throwing.
Barkley was not going to be throwing.
Who's the other big? Oh, there's another one of the bigger quarterbacks is throwing. I know Geno Smith is. You know, I think I'm a little interested in that, but clearly the storyline is Manti Te'o and his interviews and. He thinks that.
That's the problem. They're interviews, so you'll never know what really happened.
No, he's got a press conference, though. He's got to do a press conference. He's got to address that. And he said in his first thing, he goes, I don't see why the whole, scandal, the whole, Twitter online scandal would affect my draft thing at all. Now, you and I haven't had this discussion, but how could that not affect it? I think it's going to. Now,
it affects his decision making.
Well, it affects a couple things. This guy was not a guy who was overly gifted athletic. It's not like he's a guy like, you know, Jadeveon Clowney, you know, the guy who's
Clowney.
Like so Javon far
Clowney.
Above, athletically more gifted than any other lineman. You look at that guy. I mean, he's a guy that basically one of his strengths was that he was a leader and he was really smart, right? I mean, he's a linebacker he's a heady linebacker.
Well, you got to worry about his decision making for sure.
You got to worry about him being a leader. You think that guy could ever command a locker room from now on? Every time he sits on the field, you know how much trash he's going to get from the other team? There's no way this guy's going to come in as a rookie. And there's been guys, I mean, Ray Lewis came in as a rookie and could command a locker room. Even David Harris for the Jets came in. There's a lot of times
middle linebackers, Patrick Willis, and come in as a rookie and really be like, all right, this is my team.
I heard the Giants like him a lot.
Well, I'm sure people like him, but my thing is, whether it's going to hurt his draft status, and it's very
100% will.
The day the story broke, so that morning, Mel Kiper came out with his and Mel Kiper's the guru now.
He had him eighth, right?
Eighth
to Tony.
So Tony's eighth.
Yeah,
to the Buffalo.
Yeah, I remember because I told Tony.
And Pettin, Coach Pettin's going to be just grooming him. So it's very clear to see whether it hurt his draft.
Now where is he now?
I have no idea. I mean, people I've heard anywhere from 15th to late first round to second round. So, and nothing has changed about him athletically. I mean, and it's not like this guy's going to come out there, I don't think, and run like a 4.3 or, four, you know, like just blow everybody away in my mind. So it's going to hurt him. It's an interesting story. I'd be curious to see what happens. You are going
to
find out.
He's not good enough for me to warrant me as a GM to like even take the risk.
My question is this. This guy was an honor roll student at Notre Dame, one of the best universities in the country.
Yes, sir.
You've heard him give interviews since this whole thing broke. He sounds really dumb. Just, you know, in talking, he sounds very, very dumb. I'm going to set his Wunderlich score for you. I'm going to give you one more over-under. 22. You give me over.
What's the high? 40?
The high's 50. But, like, the most anybody's ever gotten is, like, 45 or something like that. Like, quarterback.
He's going over 22.
You think he's going over 22? I think
some guys are book smart.
I think he's never been to a Notre Dame class in his life.
Well, we have a bet. He's over 22. That's not even a question.
Now, we took the one, like, and you were, like, mid-30s.
I did very well.
Yeah, and you're one of the smarter people I know.
Oh, shut up.
You are.
I got to tell you, that test is not hard.
It's so stupid, that test.
It is so stupid, but there are people.
Sometimes it's
Vince
too
Young
stupid.
Got, like, an 8.
Yeah.
Some of it's too stupid.
Yeah.
He got an 8, though. I'm telling you, I think, but that's going to show
22
you.
22 is not.
He's got a.
See, 22 is a very low bar for him. I mean, the guy's a linebacker, so he clearly knows plays. Like, I think he'll do higher than 22.
They don't ask you football plays. They ask you weird quiz about, like, you know, they ask you weird, like.
No, but I'm talking about, like, the fact that he
two guys on one side of the river,
the fact
three
that
guys.
He's taking plays shows me that he's capable of, like, understanding stupid
plays. I don't know that Ray Lewis would get a 22. He's one of the smarter linebackers that ever played.
Some guys, they don't talk about it because I don't think they care that much about what a linebacker gets. That's why you only hear about Vince Young's. Every time you ever hear about a dumb score, it's usually from a.
Well, I think we're going to find out his score. We're going to know what his score was. I think I'm picking
it. You're probably right.
And 22 might be very low. I don't know. I just picked
20. I think 22 is low.
Yeah, it's pretty low. He's dumb. Have you heard him talk?
Yeah, I have heard him talk. I just think he's very, like.
Dumb is the word.
Yeah,
just
dumb.
Unintelligent.
But he may be book smart.
Fair enough.
Takes test
We knew a lot of guys like that at Hopkins. All right, number four, we got to talk about the Blade Runner down in South Africa. It has been compared.
I read an article today. Oh, my God.
I did, too. Now, it has been compared, you know, apples to apples.
To the juice?
To the juice. Because this was, like, the guy. And it would be like.
Has it really been compared to that?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Today they were talking about several different stations. They're like, to try to compare it to what's going on down in South Africa right now. I mean, it'd be LeBron James.
What it's going to come down to. I'm going to make this quick. O.J. Simpson, the whole thing was about what? The glove. Right? This is literally, the whole thing is going to be about, they're going to have to prove that he put his prosthetics on.
And he says he didn't.
He says he didn't, but the guy took the angle. This whole thing is going to be about the angles. You're going to learn about angles. We learned about DNA and gloves fitting in OJ's trial.
We're
going to
learn.
About
now, there's also another thing, one point the prosecution made today. His whole claim was he went outside to get the fan. He went to some other room, the balcony or something, to get a fan. It was hot. So he went to go bring it back in, and then he heard a noise in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And he said he started calling out to his girlfriend. She wasn't answering. He said, call 911. There's somebody in the house. And he was like, I'm doing construction in my house. There's ladders around. Somebody could have got it in. So he said he just went guns a-blazing and started shooting into the bathroom. Now, the prosecution said they had a diagram of his bedroom, and they're like, in order for him to get to where he says he was, where the fan was, and bring it over to get to where the bathroom is, he would have to go past the bed.
Yeah.
And he would see that his girlfriend is not in bed.
The other problem,
and if that's the case, then how is he going to explain that?
And the other problem with what you just said,
he had to go past the bed, and he said it was pitch black there. Why didn't he just feel around?
And why when he...
and say, oh, my God, there's a body in this bed.
And I don't
bed.
Care. I know that South Africa has a lot of crime.
I've been there.
And they say, yeah, I know you have. They say crime that, like... But when you make a decision like you... You go out to get a fan, and you come back and you hear a noise. Your first instinct is someone's in the house. You don't even think, like, maybe my girlfriend's moving around. You're not even
that is insane.
That.
He just starts shooting.
Says, call 911. I'm shooting.
That is the worst. I'm going to give you 3 seconds or I start shooting.
Yeah, that seems like a weird. I don't know.
I agree with you. But that's going to be interesting to follow.
Didn't she scream at some point?
There was arguing before.
Well, the screams that they heard was from a house.
No, but I mean when
meters.
He shot her. When he shot her, didn't she make a noise?
You would think.
I would hope so.
No, but that's what I'm saying. So why? So if he was an accident, why is he shooting 4 times after the scream?
I don't know. It's going to be interesting. All right, real quick. We've got 40 seconds left. I'm just going to ask you a question. You got to say your answer here. This came from Neil, comedian Neil. Which sport league would you like to most officiate? If you had to pick of the 4 sports and you had to officiate one, which would it be? Umpire, ref?
Umpire.
100%. You don't have to run around. I'll take that to the bank.
There's a lot of downtime.
Which one would you like to commentate on?
Football.
I say football, too. Basketball and baseball, you have to come up with the cheesy home run calls and the big dunk calls, and I wouldn't like that. So I agree. We agree. All right, West of Tri-State Sports, guys. That's our show for the
Thanks
week.
Thanks for having me back.
That's always back, which we love. Next week, Neil will be back. Hit us up on TriStateSportsGuys.com. We'll see you next week.
And why would he go after the guy with no legs?